Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to season 3 of the Neil Reynolds Podcast. It's been a long break since the end of the 2021 season, so we're thrilled to be finally dropping some new episodes as we enter the 2022 campaign. Promises to be another enthralling season in the NFL, and after some of the names we've secured for this podcast in the off-season, we know you're going to love listening to us once again. And for those of you who can't get enough of me, you can even join me at a game in the US this season. That's because I'll be heading stateside in December to catch some of the action, working with the team at Elite Sports Travel. They are our new presenting partner for the season, so I'll be able to give you some more details on all of that later in the show. But we are so excited to have them on board, as they really do bring fans closer to the NFL with a lot of packages they put in place for attending games inside and outside of the UK. The excitement doesn't stop there either, as I can now bring in my first guest of the 2022 season, and it's none other than Cam Jordan of the New Orleans Saints. Now, I would normally have a thing or two to say when introducing my guest, but where Cam is concerned, I think we should get straight into the conversation. As you'll hear, he's a man who has plenty to say for himself. We met up at the NFL's London office during the off-season, and spending time in his presence was a real treat. So here he is. Cam, let's start with football memories growing up. How young were you when you started playing?
Man, first football memories. So my dad played for the Minnesota Vikings for 13 years. I think I was, 82 through 94. So I was about 5,
right?
Let's say right on the cusp of 5 when he retired. So I don't have great memories of him playing football. I've got little kid memories, like us being in Minnesota where it's, sub 15, 20 degrees, the car freeze, the car locks frozen.
Right.
So you're just miserable. Maybe a memory or two of being at like a cold game, again, being miserable. But then there's happy memories of like being at a practice facility, and not knowing if it's a practice facility, but like being at work with dad, running around the field, drinking, cold Gatorades out of cans, which doesn't really exist unless you're in the football sports world.
Right.
And then I was like, whatever happened to those cans, Gatorades? And then I found them 20 years later. So
did you want to be a tight end?
Jesus, no. That sounds that so terrible. Yeah, it just sounds so terrible. They're like part receiver, part offensive lineman, so they really get beat up a lot.
Yeah.
And that had no – plus my dad was one for 13 years, and I wanted to be no part of his shadow.
Right.
So sort of just grew up born in Minnesota, left Minnesota a year after he retired. So for sure by the time I was 5.
Yeah. I mean, many NFL fans would know your dad, Steve Jordan. Like you said, great tight end for the Vikings. How did he help you get on that path to football? Was it did he help you with X's and O's, or mind, was it all the other stuff?
Mind manipulation is what I'm going to put it at. I know, just semi-kidding there. Mm. As I'm growing up, we're in the gambit of sports. I mean, of course, started off in Minnesota. Midwest is big on soccer, so we started growing up playing soccer.
Right.
Get to Arizona, it's 110 degrees Fahrenheit. We're not playing soccer anymore. Yeah. We're looking for all indoor sports. But subsequently, we played, basketball for pretty much my whole life.
Right.
Of course, we supplemented that with everything. I mean, karate. We did taekwondo growing up. Tap dancing, ballet. Did the trumpet, played the piano. And now I can't read a lick of music. So I'm not sure why I was ever forced to play piano for 2 years.
Do you think he helped you when you got to the pros in terms of knowing what
to expect in terms of
being
around the game, being in the locker room, you know, and all the business side of it.
Once I learned to appreciate my dad, I could then use his knowledge. Yeah,
you start to listen to him.
Absolutely. You know, when you're growing up, you're like, your dad's telling you things. He was a tight end. He's like, hey, you're offensive lineman. This is how you should, you know. I started off as offensive lineman in high school or junior high, whatever, eighth grade year. And he was like, this is how you should do a set. This is how you can change up your sets. And I was like, bro, I don't need this right now. But growing up, for sure. So somewhere in college, it clicked. Like, oh, he's done this before. Maybe I should tune in to see what he has.
Yeah.
And by the time I got to the league, I felt like I was pro ready.
Yeah. My ears pricked up when you said karate and ballet dancing. I'm just wondering, and tap dancing.
Does it cross
do
over?
Any of them?
Phenomenal feet.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm wondering. Quick feet.
Right.
Use your hands. I mean, seriously, is there anything from karate and those sort of things? Is because the hand-to-hand combat at the line?
Of course. I wish you would have thrown me in, like, jiu-jitsu or, you know, like, I could have had some major ground game. Like, you know, like, I would have been just more perfect. But I think taekwondo, for sure, in terms of mental focus, in terms of being aware of your body, I think that does wonders. My kids will be in it. I mean, my son is already in karate. I'm trying to get him to jiu-jitsu, and wifey's not having it right now.
Mind manipulation, that's what you need. Come on, Cap.
For sure. But I think mind manipulation, I'm just like, as we were growing up, you know, my dad was an engineer. He graduated from Brown, Ivy League. University of Brown, Ivy League in America. Mm. And so he was an engineer in the off season for football. And then once he retired, he was a full-blown engineer. So he'd work, you know, Monday through Friday, probably sometime Saturday. But on Saturdays, we knew two things. We would do our chores in the morning, and then we'd head to the park in the afternoon.
Right.
And then or probably mid-morning by then. But we knew, you know, we would be running routes. We'd be running, you know, digs, in, sevens, outs, which are all different variations of routes. And catching a football over his shoulder, you know, watching it come in. And this was, like, trained on from, like, 6 till we found a way to get out of it.
He definitely wanted you to be a tight end. He definitely 15, 16,
for sure. Like, he was just teaching hand-eye coordination skills and everything about it. But that was, like, every Saturday. So, you know, we'd have friends come over, and they'd, like, look forward to it on Saturday. For us, I'm like, this is work.
It's part of our chores.
I just want to play tag with my friends, and here we are running these routes, and, you know, everybody's like, though, you've got the greatest dad. All right, bro. Like you get to choose, like pick and choose when you're coming
you
over.
You can leave. When you went to college at California, mm-hmm. and you stayed there the whole time, 4 mm-hmm. years, 40 games. Mm-hmm. Not everyone does that nowadays. You know, people
now it's the transfer portal and NIL and rules.
Well, that
you get paid to play now. Good for them.
That where they leave, they can leave from school to school, but also a lot of players around the draft come out after the junior year.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you do the whole thing? Why did you stay?
I loved my experience at Cal.
Did you?
Yeah. I mean, sitting at University of California, Berkeley, we're the number one public school in America.
Mm.
You know, we're probably top 50 most recognizable schools in the world.
Yeah.
So that prestige alone gives you a little bit of dip on your chip, if you will. You're like, you know, there's no greater experience than being in Berkeley, being on the cusp of, you know, such cosmopolitan type cities.
Yeah.
When you think about, you know, Oakland, Berkeley, San Francisco, Hayward, San Jose, the whole Bay Area vibes just puts you in another level. And I was like, you know, my junior year, I thought about coming out, and then like what we sort of projected me to get drafted at just wasn't lining up where I thought I would.
Right.
So I was somewhere in the mid draft round. So,
okay.
Which is cool.
Yeah, but you.
But like, if you have another chance to set yourself up, you do just that. So I could have came out my junior year, and in hindsight, I was like, I should have just left. But I loved my college experience.
Right, and you were first round draft pick,
and you go from a possible second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth round guy to a first rounder. It's not bad.
No, you went first round 2011, 24th overall. Mark Ingram went 28th, didn't he, in that same draft? Yeah, I remember that when we did our live shows together online, and Mark was a guest, you were a guest of that, which was great. How quickly did you become friends, and how? And obviously you still work together now, you still hang out together.
Absolutely. We've got a podcast together, Big Trust Levels. Tune in wherever you get your podcast.
Nice.
I don't know. I don't know what that is.
What a
part. Yeah. But seriously, right when we got drafted, I think I was on the elevator coming down with the fam. He and his fam got on the elevator, so met him then and there.
Yeah.
Like, of course, you know about each other, but,
sure.
You know, met him there. And then next thing you know, we're on a flight to New Orleans. Did that. So we're clearly on the same flight. You know, we're talking and chopping it up, trying to figure out, you know, what's next. Whatever the time, that time frame is, that next time I'm in New Orleans, because it was a lockout, like we were there for 2 days,
right.
Got a playbook, and they're like, all right, get out of here.
Yeah, you're and not then, supposed to be
yeah,
here.
Yeah, like, you're not supposed to be here. So also I had to like find a place to live. I had to find like all this other stuff. And so eventually I'm in like a hotel trying to figure stuff out, and he was already training in New Orleans.
Right.
So he was training in New Orleans, had a house in New Orleans, you know, everything was set up. And I was getting tired of hotel life.
Right.
So he had a couch, and I started crashing on his couch. And that's been my guy ever since. So
it must be hard when you have that. Again, it is a business. You know, the top of any sport is a business. And he was your close friend. Then he goes to another team.
Right.
And then
just
he comes
so rude.
Back. I'm just
like
just
he,
reading the
no,
news.
I'm just I'm saying, like, it was so rude. Like, he just left.
Oh, he, I thought you said, why am I so rude?
Oh, no, no,
I was
no.
like, wow.
No, 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 no. It was
he was so rude.
He just left me for 2 years.
Honestly,
and had a blast with, like, you know, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens for a year. You know, went for 1,000-something yards.
Yeah.
And like, but then came back, of course. So it's the nature of the business. Yeah, like when you see your guys go, you know, it sucks that they leave.
Yep.
But at the same time, you're happy for him because it's a better opportunity for him.
Yeah.
Like he went over to Baltimore Ravens and went crazy that following year. He went for like, you know, 1,100 yards on the ground, another like 400 or 500 in the air. He's teamed up with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
You know, they came up with the big trust, you know, the big trust.
Yeah.
You know, all that encompassed that year. That was fire.
Yeah.
So when you see your teammates or, you know, what I consider my brother succeed, like, you can't help but be excited. But also, you're like, so are you done? Are you ready to come back?
Yeah,
you coming back now?
Yeah.
I love that to a couple of my teammates. And, like, they all tell me no. But Mark came back, so.
Sometimes they just leave and stay
there. Yeah, they leave and stay gone. And then I'm just looking from afar, like, good for you.
I love the draft story where you got the phone call where they thought you were Jordan Cameron.
Oh, man.
You had the last laugh, though, because he hasn't played in the NFL since 2016, has he?
And living a great life. I'm sure he is. Like, he's just probably, like, eating what he wants. You know, doesn't have to train as hard. Like, good for him.
Checking into restaurants as Cam Jordan, probably.
Just, like, living his best life. In fact, one, like, a fan told me how well he was doing, and I was like, good for him.
Right.
He's like, you're Jordan Cameron? I was like, nope. He's like, oh, you're Cam Jordan. Yep. Man, Jordan Cameron living the life. Is he?
Good for him.
Good for him. When I retire, I hope to live the life as well.
Yeah. Well,
as I sit here in London.
Yeah. No, you're living the life.
Like, it's not bad.
You're living the life already. Did you have a welcome to the NFL moment? You know, like where you realize you're not in college anymore, and you're like, ooh, this is.
Yeah, probably the first time I had a training camp. Granted, yeah. We get drafted, you get a playbook, then you can't talk or hear from the team for months.
Yeah, that's unique.
Drew Brees, our quarterback at the time, set up off-season workouts at Tulane, you know, out in New Orleans. But it wasn't the same. And then, of course, contract negotiations, all that stuff, because this was the first time of the new CBA in 2011. So guys had to figure out contracts. I was like one of the last to sign my contract deal, looking for a fully guaranteed deal. Didn't get it because a Canadian was ahead of me and just buckled. Danny Watkins, I'd like to say.
He didn't go for the
full. He was like a 45-year-old like firefighter out of Canada that got drafted in the first round. He was just excited to be there.
So he
probably said sorry as he was signing. He was sorry. I'm sorry. I have to sign this. Sorry. But he was such a pleasant individual, so I don't wish too much evil on him.
A little bit.
A lot of bit.
But when you got to training camp, you notice you're in the NFL then,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but it took me I was one of the last to sign, so training camp had been going on for like a week and a half, two weeks.
Right.
And I'm just like, first of all, I'm an 18-year-old kid with a couple thousand dollars to his name. Like, I didn't get the signing bonus yet, but I had did a couple appearances where I had more money than I've ever had before. So I'm eating, you know, steak and lobster, I'm eating, like, you know, good stuff, whereas normally I keep the diet relatively the same my whole life. I'm like 85% pescatarian in my mind. And I'm over here just eating like meat and potatoes like I'm somewhere from the Midwest. And it probably showed. I was like heavy, you know. And you go into New Orleans and it's blistering, sweltering, humidity and heat. So it was like, you know, 90 degrees with 100% humidity in helmets and shoulder pads. And I'm like just coming in like, oh, I get a helmet one day. The next day I'm like in shoulder pads. And so I'm heavy. I'm in all special teams. I'm running on, you know, punt return, punt, kickoff, kick return. They're trying to find. They're trying to like find the bottom of the salt at the lake, and they found it.
Right.
You know, and so I remember vividly like going to my coach, and I'm like, I'm like, yo, I can't see. Like, I'm breaking down here. And B.Y., who was assistant coach, he played defensive line for the Rams, ended up with the Saints. So, like, I'm looking for some sort of slack here.
Right.
You know? And so, I said 18 earlier, 21. And I just turned 22 right before training camp. Yep. So I'm a fresh 22. I go to him. I'm like, hey, I've taken reps with the ones. I've taken reps with the twos. I've taken reps with threes. I'm on all special teams. I need a break. And he was like, you're young. You got it. And at that moment, I questioned two things in my life. I said, Lord, why did you place me here to be on this team? And do I really want to play football?
Right.
And that was like week one.
Wow. Where were you training then? Was that because they trained at Millsaps in Jackson, Mississippi for a while, but then
straight New Orleans.
Back in New Orleans. But even so, I've been there for training camp.
Shrine on Airline.
Yeah, it's tough.
It hurts if you're not accustomed to it.
Like, yeah.
I go back a week early from training camp because I'll go to Arizona, which is a dry heat.
Right.
But then I got to,
I got to get that humidity. Got
to get that humidity touch in. There's only so much you can do with dry heat. Like, it'd be 115 when I'll have, like, a sweatshirt on trying to, like, just create some sort of adverse situation. Yep. It's not the same when you get out there and it just rained and, it's nothing but sweltering humidity.
Yeah.
We're like 200 feet underwater. Like, we're sub sea level.
Not ideal for an athlete.
It is once you get used to it.
Yes. Yes. An advantage.
People come over and they're like, I can't breathe. Yeah, you can't.
We'll be back with more from Cam Jordan after this short break.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Neil, we are back. It's our first ad break in the new season, and we have a new partner to be talking about, Elite Sports Travel.
Yeah, it's great to have them on board. It's great to be back, Gary. Great to be back working with you. They were our first ever sponsor in season one. Very, very good company offering that ability for fans to get out to the States and fulfill those dreams and see games in America. So, yeah, very glad they're on board. Glad that we're into season three and glad we could persuade you to work for a pittance again.
Well, excellent. Well, with Elite Sports Travel on board, I get a free trip, don't I? I'm going to the US with you in December.
Well, I don't know, Gary. Yes, maybe we should be angling for that because I'm sure there's content we can do along the way. Let's do our negotiating in public straight away. But they are very, very good. They're specialists in the NFL, but they cover everything from regular season weekend breaks to celebrity hosted trips like my own. Darren Fletcher and Vernon Kay are going to be hosting a trip. And then, of course, they'll have the Super Bowl out in Arizona in February. So, yeah, we'll talk about all the different types of holidays that they can offer over the coming weeks when we're doing the podcast. But, I've said this to you, Gary. I've said it to them and I've actually said it to the fans as well. I'm very careful about who I kind of work with and who I want to put my name with. And Elite Sports Travel, it's the clues in the name. They're outstanding. I've seen how they work with fans. I've hosted events for them at Super Bowl. I've seen how they look after fans when they're on tours. You are not on your own when you're traveling. A lot of times on these trips, there'll be representatives of them, especially the trip I do, the one Vernon and Darren do. But they are first class from start to finish. So I'm really, really glad they're on board.
So just quickly before we get back to Cam Jordan, tell us a bit about, we'll be hearing about it in the build up to it as well, but this trip you have in December.
Yeah, so it's a West Coast road trip this year and we're going out to Las Vegas. So the guys will see a game in Las Vegas. They're going to see the Chargers at the Raiders. Then I'm going to join them on the Monday night. We're going to have a watch along. Me and a special guest and all the travelers will be watching Monday Night Football in Las Vegas together. Then we head on to Los Angeles for the Raiders at the Los Angeles Rams. And then the group carry on to San Francisco for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the San Francisco 49ers. So I'll be there in Vegas and in LA, but the group are going to go and they're going to see you know, they're going to see Justin Herbert. They're going to see Devontae Adams and Derek Carr. They're going to see Aaron Donald and Matthew Stafford, Tom Brady, Debo Samuel, George Kittle. I mean, the biggest stars in the NFL. They're going to go to Las Vegas, LA, and San Francisco. So, yeah, Elite Sports Travel is going to be taking care of everyone on that one, and I'll be along for the ride.
Sounds incredible. Right, let's get back to Cam Jordan.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is seven-time Pro Bowler Cam Jordan, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
What do you think have been the keys to your success on the field? Of course, so many sacks, so many Pro Bowls. What do you kind of attribute?
107 sacks in season, to be exact.
I love the way you, I love
five and a half in playoffs.
I actually tweeted about that one. I think you retweeted and said exactly the exact number, because I said it 100-plus sacks, and I think you tweeted.
Plus seven, yeah.
I love the fact you know it. It's great.
Yeah.
They're precious.
Yeah, I mean, off-season is there to toot your horn. In-season, I'm like, nah, it doesn't matter.
No.
Off-season, I know everything.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. Why have you been able to record 107 sacks?
Man, blessing to be healthy. Honestly, I mean, a lot of guys have supreme talent, but they get nicked by that injury bug.
Yeah, yeah.
To this day, I've missed two games since college. I've missed one my sophomore year of college because I got an off-season DUI, and then I missed a game, and I'm still, like, kicking myself in the butt. Like, just call it taxi. We didn't have Uber back in. I blame it on Uber not being around.
Right. It would have been so much easier.
It would have been easier. I would have called the app. I would have been in the ride, and I'd be on my way.
Yeah.
There wasn't Uber.
You live and learn.
I blame it on it being, like, 2008.
Yeah.
But, no, seriously, the only other game that I missed was this last year against the Jets, and the Jets were terrible. I needed that game. But
you wanted a few
goals. Oh, my
gosh. You'd have been up to 110 by now.
Easily. It might have been sitting at 115. Like, they were terrible. But now, you know, they bolstered their team,
yeah.
So now they look better than they did last year. And I was like, but that was the team you needed. Anyway, yeah. So I missed that game because of COVID, and I was asymptomatic, just sitting at the house just like this, like,
I want to play football, yeah. What am I doing?
I was like, I'm healthy. No, I swear. Yeah. And every time, like, I had a couple positives, I'd come up with a negative. I had a couple positives, I'd come up with a negative. All I needed was two back-to-back negatives. Yeah. I'm not even I didn't have a bead of sweat come down. I was just bored at the house.
Frustrating.
Trying to just run around the backyard, trying to make sure that, I don't contaminate everybody.
You mentioned about the Jets not being very good then, and like saying I might have had another seven or eight sacks.
They were terrible.
Do you go into games, and obviously you do all your film study, and there's all the scheme stuff that you have to do, but is there a part of you that's just like, whoa, I'm going to get some sacks this weekend?
Absolutely. You go into, after the film study, you go into a game like saying, oh, if we take advantage how I think we can,
yeah,
it's going to be one of those days.
All right. This is going really well, so I don't really want to ask the next two questions.
Oh, go ahead. Come on.
I want to ask about...
I just gave you a DUI.
I want to ask. I know. Breaking news. Let me get Florio on the phone. How hard is it to deal with seasons when you put in all the work, training camp? You just said how hellish training camp can be. You go through all the season. Then let's talk about a couple of the Minneapolis Miracle. And then it ends just like that. Let's talk about that one first.
You know how there's like traumatic experiences and then you just like put it in a deep, dark cage in your heart and then you don't talk about
it? And then some random Englishman asks you out.
No. Like, that's just how I treat it. Like, I don't even recall that game.
You just keep going. Keep moving
like,
forward.
There was a probably solid month and a half after that game where I was on a bender. Somebody like, hey, Cam, how you doing? Not that great. We lost to the freaking Vikings in last play of the game. Just a self deteriorating, like,
right. It's no good to revisit that.
Morning, Dad. It's not that great of a morning, but good morning to everybody else. I'm glad you're happy.
Yeah.
But then after that, you're like, all right, well, let's figure this out. What can we get better? What can we do to get better? If we never let them get close, in the second half, we don't have to worry about it. If we score a touchdown in the first half, it was, we looked up at the end of the first half, it was 17-0.
Right.
And yet we came up and we were in a strong position to win the game. And all you have to do is make, one tackle at the end of the game. But young guy came in way too fast at Marcus Williams at the time, who's probably one of the best safeties in the game. Easily the most range, like has the most range to cover in the game. Just got paid by the Ravens.
It's all about the Ravens.
Dang Ravens. you know, he was a young guy, came in way too hot and would have had a penalty that would have gave him another shot had it happened. So he tried to ease up.
Did your heart sink as soon as you saw that happen?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if sink. I don't know if sink is a word. It just like vanished. You just like become hollow for a little bit.
Yeah.
We all like ran to the locker room, had to talk it, but then we had to come back.
I know. Well, so I'm friends with Thomas Morstead.
Yeah.
So Thomas has done some stuff over here. He's done Sky Sports with me.
Yeah, his parents are British.
Yeah. So Thomas is over here, and Thomas lined up on the extra point. I mean,
we had to fill the team. I mean, luckily, like, you know, it's not like Timo was going to give the good gusto there and try and block one, but I did. I mean, I can't.
You got to go out and fight it.
Yeah, I walked all the way back out there. They're like, yeah, could you jog? No, I can't.
No, you wait for me. Yeah. Okay, mate, you wait.
I was in the locker room, like, and the referees came to us and were like, hey, we need more people to field the team.
That's so pointless to kick that extra point there.
The game is over. Yeah. Like, there's nothing we could do to win this at this point.
And the one that led to a rule change against the Rams. I mean, when anything leads to a rule change, then that is frustrating.
Man, so we'd follow two more subsequent years of consequences that
but we joke about, I mean, we're kind of lightheartedly talking about it, but the fact that the team has stayed competitive through all of that speaks to the
locker room,
the what you've got staff.
I mean, our locker room is special, and guys come into our locker room like, hey, I didn't know how close you guys were until I mean, there's times where, you know, we could be breaking out film, but we're in the locker room just like hanging out, joking around. There's times where you know, on Thursdays, the D-line eats together, and we eat, like, you know, chicken wings. And like every Thursday, we have a rookie go pick up chicken wings. But it's not just the D-line. It's, you know, the safeties will walk through, the D-line will walk through. So we have film going, and we're like, we're making a family affair out of it. It's that close.
It's important to have that crossover for positions and stuff as well.
So for sure. You know, like the only people we don't allow in are offensive linemen. We just don't, you know.
You just don't like them, do you?
Yeah.
No. Like, obviously, Drew Brees moved on a couple of years ago. Now Sean Payton. Mm-hmm. But the NFL train doesn't stop, does it? So what is the vibe around the team? How do you move on from two who've been such pivotal figures for the team for the last 10, 15 years?
I mean, luckily the last 2 years sort of helped sort of turn that eventual corner of what's next. Mm. The last 2 years of Drew's career, he missed, what, 5 games and 6 games respectively, 5 and 4 games respectively. Yep. But it gave us a chance to say, hey, we can win without Drew, where, you know, previous to that, you were like, yo, if Drew's not here, I don't know how many points we're going to put up. I don't know if we can, you know, Teddy Bridgewater came in and we went like 4-1 or 5-1, whatever that was. And we were like, all right, well, we could win. And then, you know, we thought we may have attached it to we could win with Teddy. But the following year, you know, Taysom Hill comes in, and it's like we're still winning, 4-whatever it was. Mm. We can win, but at this point, we're not attaching it to we can win with a specific person. It just became we can win. So Jameis took over last year, and we went 5-1 because we knew we could win. So it's that idea of success until he got hurt. I mean, and then even with Taysom, we knew we were going to win. And then we had Ian Book. And I was like, all right, we're on our third or fourth string. Yeah. Like, we saw 4 quarterbacks last year.
Yeah. So how excited are you then going into 2022 that Jameis is back? And is that same vibe,
ecstatic,
we can win? Yeah.
Like this is the idea we can win is probably on the low tier. You know, like, our standard is not we can win. We're trying to obtain we can win it all. Mm. So this idea that, you know, Jameis comes back healthy, love it. Mike Thomas could possibly come back healthy. Last year, our highest draft pick was Tre'Quan Smith as a high draft. There was nobody else that was drafted. Right. This year, Chris Olave, first round. Mike T, MVP Mike T. Like, you know, former MVP Mike T. Tre'Quan Smith is back. Great. You know, we've got a couple young kids that were drafted.
Jarvis can play.
Jarvis Landry in the building. Like, you know, like, I don't want to say we're stacked, but that's what it's looked like. Our tight end room is cool. Like, you know, Nick Vanette, we've got Adam Trautman, we've got Juwan Johnson. When you saw action, you saw some ability there. And then, of course, you talk about running backs. We have probably, you know, if AK and Mark Ingram are healthy, probably the best running back duo in the league.
How How cool is it that Jarvis Landry is with the Saints and Tyrann Mathieu? Heroes. Yeah,
absolutely.
Because there is, you know, everything through Katrina, all the things that have gone on right. various times.
And they like lived through it like as kids, and like really knew it.
The bond between the Saints and their fans, mm-hmm. and those two guys are going to really feel that, aren't they, being back?
Oh, 100%. Mm. Plus, you talk about, it's not like we got like old players like, oh, or, you know.
No,
oh,
it's not we just a bunch
of great bits. Yeah, it's, oh, they're just from New Orleans. No, like these are top tier athletic phenoms, you know. You talk about Jarvis Landry, what he was able to do with the Browns.
Right.
Like you have to like get probably put more respect on his name that he stuck with the Browns and wanted to stay with the Browns because like,
well, you might be getting two really they're elite players for a start, as you said, but Tyrann Mathieu's probably thinking, why didn't Kansas City want me anymore? Jarvis Landry's thinking, why did somebody else not? I mean, you actually get them. I mean, they're always going to be motivated. They're incredible pros anyway. A little chip on the shoulder for sure.
You talk about them being able to come home to like put on for the city.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just going to be added motivation.
The connection between the team and the city, you're a big part of that. You live that a lot. Your foundations, charities. But I wanted to ask about you do these kind of random acts of kindness. Just, you'll see someone and you'll pay for their gas at the petrol pumps. Do really random stuff, How does that make you feel?
Whatever you're moved by. I've been blessed so much. You know, the Lord has blessed me truly in terms of the amount of manna, in terms of just the family health. You know, I've got four beautiful kids that are healthy. I've got, you know, an amazing wife that is athletic in her own right, went to the University of Rutgers, was a McDonald's All-American for basketball, played basketball at Rutgers. You know, come from a phenomenal, you know, family of two parents, even you know, whether they're split or not, whatever that is, there was nothing but constant emotional and, you know, support for me growing up. So the idea that I can pay it forward in any way, it just makes the most sense. Like, how can, like, my cup runs over? You know, like, that's why I really don't have bad days. I'm blessed through and throughout. I wake up in the morning and know that, like, today is going to be a good day regardless of what happens. Like, you know, my son's going to love me. My daughter's going to, like, over-love me. You know, like, there's so much love my way.
That's not the same for everyone at the moment. Everyone's struggling, or a lot of people here in the UK are struggling with the cost of living. People that used to donate to food banks are turning to food banks. I'm sure it's similar in America. So
for sure,
as players, you see that, and you want to help.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I love a couple groups. I love, you know, Second Harvest of New Orleans, which is a food bank.
Right.
I love, you know, Yep, which focuses on kids, youth empowerment project in New Orleans.
Nice.
I love that it's called Yep.
Yeah.
you know, Eat Boys and Girls Club, like whatever that is. But beyond just those organizations, there's still people in the city that get affected and are affected. And you're trying your best just to figure out how to uplift somebody's day. Right. Like, a burger may not sound like it a lot, but it goes a long way on an empty stomach. Mm. You know, a gas tank sounds like, you know, chump change, but at this day and age,
it's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. Yeah. And I was trying to do the conversion rate. We saw it was like $1.93. I was like, oh, that's not bad. Then I had to think about it. I was like, that's per liter. That's GBP. I was like, that's 4 liters in a gallon.
Yeah,
that's low key 790. Like, that's 70 something, maybe 782. I was like, oh, plus the 1.3 conversion. I was doing math. I was like, that's like $10 a gallon.
Yeah.
And I thought we had a bad New Orleans when it's like four change, you know? All right.
Yeah, no, it's pretty bad. It really is. But it's great what you do. And it is an example of what so many NFL players do. And I think sometimes the negative stuff makes the headlines because the other stuff isn't seen as cool. But I think it's good to recognize what so many players do, because so many players do that and what you're doing. A couple of random questions just to sort of finish up. What's the Superdome like when it's rocking?
It's the most top tier stadium. I try and tell people, like, if you've ever been to, like, I think, what have I been to now? An Arsenal game. Like, it's
right.
It can get rowdy amongst the fans, right? Like, it can get sort of bloodlusty-ish.
Our producer Gary's shaking his head. It's quite quiet, Arsenal, at times.
I'm just saying, in terms of soccer in general. Like,
yeah.
You have back and forth between, like, different factions.
Yes.
You know, like, there's actual, like, hate there sometimes. Yeah. And you can see it spill over.
Right.
Like, in New Orleans, after we win, like, after, you know, all the stuff we talk, all the stuff our fans talk, we're going to like treat you to a good Southern hospitality. Like, let's go take shots together. You know, right. Like after we win the battle, you can go enjoy yourself. Or even if we lose, like our fans aren't going to like try and stomp you out in the pub.
Right.
You know, it's still going to be like a very amicable let's party.
Right.
And I think that's huge. But just in terms of atmosphere, we are the loudest stadium. Like yeah. They say Seattle's engineered to like
right.
put the fans crowd noise into whatever, you know, you say Atlanta because of how much noise they pump in with their speakers.
I wonder when the shot for Atlanta would come. We've been about 20 minutes in.
And then, you know, you say like Kansas City, but none of them compare to New Orleans right. versus an Atlanta game, New Orleans versus anybody in the playoffs. It's the energy is unmatched and unreal in any place I've ever gone.
What advice would you give now you've been in the league all these years to the
rookies? This is your dozen. I'm not even referring to year 12. This is your dozen going in.
Yeah, you don't want to use that.
Year dozen. Year dozen sounds different. It does. You know, like nobody's saying year dozen.
No, they're not. Dozen. You need to. Yeah, you need to.
It's me.
You've workshopped it here in London. Now you're just going to break it out Absolutely. When you get back to America. What's the biggest thing you've learned, do you think? What advice would you give to rookie Cam Jordan? Not Jordan Cameron. He's living the life. But
he's
Cam
living
Jordan.
Living the life.
What's the thing you've learned the most, do you think?
Man, if I got a hold of rookie me, off the field or on the field? Because on the field, I would tell myself, you know, there's going to be a time where guys are going to try and peg you as an interior rusher, or, you know, guys are going to make you think that you can't be effective in every down.
Right.
But you have so much more. You know, like, it's
so
okay.
Believe in yourself. Back yourself.
Oh, I believed in myself.
Yeah.
I just refortified this idea that I don't have to be an interior rusher. Right. I'd be an edge rusher.
Yeah, yeah.
Because my rookie year, you know, my coaches were pit on me, like rushing from the three technique, which is between the tackle and
yep,
the guard.
Yep.
And I prefer to rush outside of the tackle, outside of the tight end, preferably.
Yeah.
So I just refortify that position. Like, no, you're on the right path. Don't worry about what others say.
What did it mean to you to be on the All-Decade team? That's historic. That can't be taken away. That can't.
Like, forever, whatever happens, I'll always be a part of the NFL's 2010 All-Decade team. Mm. And that's a blessing, especially because the defensive end that I looked up to was on it as well. You know, you grow up and you're looking at, you know, the freak, which was Javon Curse for the Tennessee Titans. And then Philly a little bit, but really Tennessee Titans. And then you'd look at Julius Peppers. I mean, Julius Peppers played basketball, football at college, first overall pick, 6'6", 6'7", just like an all-world stud, ended up with 159.5 sacks. Like, you say, that's a pretty formidable career, 17 years in the league, 16. That's what you consider impressive. And I've been watching them since I was, you know, a jit. Like, oh, I'm a long arm. Like,
now J-Pow. you're on that same team.
In that realm of being on, you know, all decade team. Clearly, he was on two, but we'll just talk about the one.
You're still going. Once you're in year 20, you'll be on two. So 107. I'm going to remember that number. 107 mm-hmm. sacks. Mm-hmm. What does it feel like to get a sack? Because you put so much work in, and sometimes you come close. And
absolutely. And yeah. I tell other guys in the league that are younger that are having success in terms of win rate, are having success in terms of pressure, but aren't getting those sacks.
Right.
Guys in my locker room know. I'm like, bro, this all comes full circle. Like, whether you miss now, you get it paid back later.
Yeah.
It's like stocks. There's always going to be a correction.
Right.
So this, I mean, even this year, like, guys were like looking at me like, I went five or six games, maybe six or seven games without a sack, and they're like, Cam, what's happening? I'm winning a lot, bro. Like,
yeah.
I'm doing a lot more damage, and if they think they can eliminate me out of the pass game, I'm still the top run defender.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still the top all around defensive end. I don't have to be effective in just one phase.
Right.
Now, is it great that I'm hitting the quarterback? I'm creating turnovers for other guys. Sure. But if they run my way, I will obliterate them. Like, so I'm A-OK with just, you know, focusing on anything that I can control. Sacks come or go.
Yeah,
but your ability, your mentality, you know, your physicality always remains the same.
Well, pressure as well. Pressures
are nice, but nobody remembers pressures when you're looking at an HOF.
But they should, though, shouldn't they?
Yes and no. If all you did was get close and you never got home, does it matter?
That's a good point.
If all we ever did was get to an NFC championship game, can we talk about how we're the greatest? No, we're good, but we have to continue striving.
So is that the motivation?
To be the best. Everything needs a period. You can't just have a run-on sentence. You can't be like, oh, he's got a lot of pressures. Okay. But, oh, he sacked Matt Ryan 23 times. Period.
Is that how many times you sacked him? Do you know how many times you sacked various quarterbacks?
No, just Matt.
Oh, I love it. because the Falcons.
It does work that he's a Falcon, but there's no one defensive end that has sacked a quarterback more times. Well, no one defensive player that has sacked a quarterback more times than me and Matt Ryan. I think like next up is probably Chandler Jones and Russ, maybe at 16 and a half, 17.
So Matt Ryan wakes up in the middle of the night screaming, Cam Jordan.
I don't know. He also left the division, so he doesn't think about me anymore.
He's a smart guy.
I try and tell people, I was like, this is sort of like, this is even more rude. Like, I've sort of relied on him for a sack or two a year.
I could have took that up to 30 if you'd stayed.
22 games, 23 sacks. That's a great average.
Which quarterback complains the most when you sack them or hit them?
It used to be Philip Rivers would like complain a little bit.
He talks a lot, doesn't he?
Yeah, but he's such a good guy.
Like, yeah, he's such Phillip a nice
Rivers
guy.
Philip Rivers doesn't use any profanity.
No, I
so
know.
So when people like, he talks so much crap, does he? Come on, sticks and stones, people.
Yeah.
But Cam Newton, like, if you hit him enough, Cam Newton, the game was sort of rigged against Cam. Because, like, if you hit him enough, those hits that you put on Cam, on any other quarterback, they're probably throwing a flag. You know,
because he was a big guy. You were allowed to get away with it.
Absolutely. Like, you'd be able to, like, pulverize Cam, and he'd pop up.
Right.
And because he'd be able to pop up, like, he wasn't just getting the respect that he probably deserved. You know, like, that is, at one point, a league MVP took his team to the Super Bowl. Like, he should probably have a halo just like everybody else has him. But you were able to smash him, and he complained to the ref, in, like, in the super sad face, like, you know, like, a little elongated, put the towel over his head. Like, you know it was a good game for us when, like, the towel came out and put it over his head. You're like, yeah, it's a tough one for you, bud.
Last one. So you're ballet dancing, tap dancing, karate kicking, defensive end. You're well traveled. You're well spoken. You seem very well rounded. Is the media next for you? Is that what you want to do? Have you started to look at that? I know you did some stuff last year.
I'm always looking to do more. Right before COVID, I did XFL sideline commentating, which I was like down there. That was like the greatest thing ever there, because you don't have to like create energy.
You're just
feeding off of it.
Yeah.
I'm over there like I got way more excited than necessary. I'm in a suit out there like high fiving, jumping bellies with guys, shoulder, all this madness. Like I'm a part of it, and then I'm like, oh yeah,
yes.
So, anyways, how did you feel about this play, which was great? And then I got a taste of the USFL being in the booth work, and that booth work is different. Like, you have to create energy there. You're so far removed from the game.
Right.
But at the same time, you're seeing everything.
Yeah.
So it's just different feels of it. And I'm always going to, you know, enjoy NFL Network or, you know, ESPN or whatever it is, just the color commentary bit. Come on. Everybody likes getting up and talking football. Who doesn't?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So is that next? I have no idea. I just know I'm enjoying it now. Like, you have to be able to enjoy now to worry about, you know, worry about today before you can worry about tomorrow.
Well, that's it from Cam Jordan. So we're up and running, and I hope you enjoyed the first episode of our new series. Just another 29 to go. As it's our first week back, though, there isn't a mailbag, but that will return in episode 2. So have a look on my socials. If you want to put any questions about the NFL or my career my way, then tweet them to me on my personal feed or for the podcast. I'm at Neil Reynolds NFL, and the podcast is at the NR Podcast. We'll be back next week. Can't wait for you to join us. My thanks to producer Gary and to Cam Jordan. See you next time. Been listening to the Neil Reynolds podcast, brought to you by Elite Sports Travel. This episode was hosted by myself, Neil Reynolds, while Gary Hayes is our producer. Gary and I have also written this series together. Our consultant producers are Kerry Levy, Jackie Anklin, Nick Lapworth, and Neil Pacchietto. Taylor Hayes mixed this episode and also composed our theme music. If you'd like to keep up to date with everything we're doing throughout the season, then please follow us on Twitter and Instagram at the NR Podcast. My personal account is also at Neil Reynolds NFL. If you've enjoyed this podcast and would like to hear more like it, then visit highway61.media. That's HWY61.
neilrenner.media. Please tell your friends about the podcast and help spread the word. Better still, leave us a rating and review wherever you're listening. This has been a Highway 61 production for the Reynolds Podcast Network.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.